That, now that is transformational.
Yes, and I was just about to say that. I was just about to say how transformational that is and informative that is. Because again, when you're in this American Eurocentric bubble, you know, because again, they keep us wrapped up in all Americanized news and everything like that. I try to get my information from outside of this country as much as possible.
Because yeah, they got it wrapped up.
They do. They really have it wrapped up. And a lot of times we get so inundated with that information that they want us to have that we kind of, you know, we won't advance. Even though some of us here have, you know, degrees and very well educated and stuff like that. Yeah. That's fine, but at the same time, if you're eating only
considering
from that
the environment,
bowl,
we've done extremely well.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm. But if you're only eating from
considering
that one
the
bowl,
environment that we've been in,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's right.
It can be a huge issue. But let me ask you as we wrap up here. Let me ask you this question. I think you've probably already answered the question, but I'm just going to ask you though, if you could, and this is kind of like a final question. If you could use a single meal, we already talked about the food, but if you could use a single meal to symbolize the essence of your ancestral connections and the transformation power of discovering one's heritage, what dish would it be and why?
A single meal. Okay, well, this is going to have to be a meal with courses, okay?
Okay.
Because let's go. From the Ghanaian side, I'm going to have some fufu with some light soup. There's a place when you come to Ghana, okay, there's the biggest market in West Africa is actually in Kumasi, Ghana, okay? Most people sleep on Kumasi. When they come to Ghana, they go to Accra, which is good. They go to Cape Coast, which is necessary because that's the point of no return. But then they go home. They don't come to Kumasi. And this is what they miss. They have a Kwazi Day, which is all the Ashanti kings that come out every 6 weeks, and they do what they would normally do. And it's a cultural bonanza, okay? But getting back to the dish. So from the land of gold, Ghana, I'm going to have fufu with light soup, with the beef light soup, because there's this place at Kajetia Market. It makes it so good that even when I finish the fufu, I don't care who's around, I have to turn up the bowl. I will be thinking about it if I walk away from that bowl and I don't turn it up. So I turn that bowl up. You hear me? There's nothing left in that bowl. Excuse me. There's nothing left in that bowl when I get through. So I would have that from Ghana. From Nigeria, of course, I'm going to have suya. But suya is not really like a meal. So as far as a meal, I guess what I'm going to have is okra stew. Because okra stew... Oh, my goodness, my brother, if you like okra, I'm telling you, you've never had anything like, and my wife makes the most serious okra stew that I've ever eaten in my life. So it's going to be okra stew with banku. Now, see, this is interesting because in Nigeria, they don't eat banku. They eat banku in Ghana, but I like banku better than pounded yam. So I would eat okra stew, which is, you know, also Nigeria. It's also Ghanaian. So it's a popular dish in Ghana, too. But okra stew would be my Nigerian dish. And then I would, instead of pounded yam, I would eat banku. And I would be well satisfied when I got through. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. You got my palate kind of wet right now thinking about the different meals.
You have Nigerian friends, right? And you have Nigerian friends?
Unfortunately, no. You know what was weird, though? Because I used to live in Minnesota for a little bit, and I got a chance to connect with some of the Eritrean people, Somalian people, mm-hmm. some of the Ethiopian people and stuff like that. And there was some other Africans there, but I only met the ones from Cameroon, mm-hmm. And it was another one.
Yeah, that's right next to Nigeria.
Yeah. And so I did eat a few of their dishes, but nothing like you were mentioning.
Well, if you look, you will be able to find some Nigerians. You let them know that you want to learn more about, you know, Nigerian cuisine and tell them that you want, because, you know, September is next month. There's going to be all over the United States, for people that are listening to this message, there are going to be Nigerian Independence Day celebrations all over the world, actually, but definitely wherever you are listening from, there are probably Nigerian groups, definitely in the United States. And so find you a Nigerian, tell them that you want to learn more about Nigerian food and that you would love to go to the Nigerian Independence Day celebration, ask them to invite you. And they will probably invite you, and then you'll get the taste of that. But don't be afraid, okay? You know, it's going to be different because, you know, we're used to eating with a spoon.
But
you wash your hands real clean, you eat with your hands. And they said, actually, they found out it's good to do that because that gives you enzymes and things like that, as long as your hands are clean. That is actually beneficial to your body. But what you do is you watch them, and you say, hey, this is the first time. And then you go outside your cup. When I went to Nigeria, this is what I told myself. I said, I'm not going to let my Western sensibilities keep me from engaging with my lost culture. I am going to try stuff. I even tried snail, okay? And I don't like snail, okay? And I found out I don't like snail. So I'm not eating no more snail, but at least I tried it, okay? So I'm saying I did not allow myself to say, oh, no, I'm not going. No, I said, I'm going to try it. Yeah, I'm going to try it. Y'all eat it? Okay, let's try it.
Because wouldn't it be considered,
you know, not every.
Because wouldn't it be considered offensive if you didn't try some of that food or something like that? Would it, or am I wrong?
Well, if you didn't really like that, I mean, if you just didn't know, it is kind of offensive because if you don't know and you just say no, and a lot of Americans kind of get this idea, oh, it's not like that in the U.S. Please don't go to Africa and say that. Don't be that American. Don't be a Karen, you know? When you go with the understanding it's not going to be America, okay? It's not supposed to be.
Right.
It's, for example, I'm going to give you a great example where I found out there's a vegetable soup called Ifo Riro. It's Yoruba name for vegetable soup. And I was at the hotel, I was in the buffet, and I saw vegetable soup, and I was going to get some, but they had meat in it. And I called the person over, I said, hey, I said, I think they put the wrong soup here because it's vegetable soup. There's meat in it. And she said, oh, no, it is for you. This is no mistake. She said, it is vegetable soup. I said, but there's meat in it. And she said, well, why do you call it vegetable soup if there's meat in it? She said, because there are many more vegetables in Ifo Riro than there are in other soups. So they call it Ifo Riro. And so in that culture, it's vegetable soup because they got more vegetables. See, in our culture, in America, if it's a vegetable, you know it doesn't have meat in it, right?
Right, right.
But that doesn't translate over to Africa. In Africa, at least in Nigeria, I'll say, their vegetable soup in Yoruba land has meat in it. It just has more vegetables, and that's why it's vegetable soup. That's a great example of how the culture, even things that seem intuitive, may not necessarily be so.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. So we're going to be wrapping up here shortly. I have been speaking to, and again, I don't think you corrected me or not, but I've been speaking to Richard Akinyemi. Is that correct?
So it's actually Richard Kweku Ezeagu Akinyemi. Kweku is Fanti and Shanti, and it means Wednesday born. Ezeagu is Igbo, and it means king of lions. Akinyemi is Yoruba, and it means warrior king, well suited to power.
Thank you, because I forgot to ask you that early on, because I'm always asking people what the meaning of their name is when I hear a name that I'm not necessarily familiar with or something like that. So thank you for giving up that information. But yes, I've been speaking to Richard, and we've been...
No wahala.
Yes, sir. We've been, you know, really getting some information out there, and this is... You know, to the listening audience, this is about his experience, which he's wrapped up in a book called Find My People. And you can go to his website, findmypeople.com, and begin to purchase that book. Now, he has a lot of information in there about, again, his experiences, the culture, the food, and how you can actually begin the process of getting in contact with your ancestral background. So please go and look at that website, go to his website, and begin to purchase his book. In this last few minutes that we do have, Richard, as we wrap up with this conversation, is there any advice that you would leave to the listening audience, especially those that may be on their own specific journey of discovery of their ancestral connections, what kind of advice would you leave with them? I mean, you've given so much so far, but pinpointing what kind of advice specifically would you give to somebody that might be on a journey of something like that?
That's an outstanding question. I would leave with them this poem. This poem God gave me when I was in Nigeria at Badagry, which is the point of no return where my ancestors were taken from. So if you have anybody that has Nigerian in them, Badagry is where your ancestors were last set their foot on African continent. It's a suburb of Lagos, which is the largest city in Africa, in Nigeria. And God gave me this poem. It goes like this. It does not matter what they say. There is greatness in your DNA. The proof is in the lies they choose to tell to make themselves feel superior. They point to chaos in different places, but hide what their hands did to bring it about. There is greatness in us, but they don't want it out. I think they know they could not compete if the field were level and they couldn't cheat. So on they go, lives filled with lies to make pretend and rationalize. They say all is equal. Why do you complain? Pretending that their constant lies have not changed the game and made people perceive just by your skin, who should lose and who should win. There are some things you have to know. Don't wait for someone to tell you so. Reject the lies of yesterday. Embrace the greatness in your DNA.
I like it. I like it. And I believe the listening audience is going to love it as well. That is a wrap, and I want to thank you again, Richard, for sharing your incredible journey and insights with us today. It's been truly enlightening.
You're welcome. Conversation. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a very enlightening conversation, and I'm sure the listening audience is going to be inspired by your journey and everything that you had to go through, even the name change and everything. So again, so you guys make sure that you go to his website, foundmypeople.com, and begin the process of purchasing his book. Richard, one last thing though before we part. Is there any social media handles or anything like that that people can actually, start following you on?
Yes, it's _foundmypeople on Instagram, _foundmypeople. And I would just like to tell them that the book is not only about my story, but it's also a guide for those who want to connect. I talk about that. And even in the last chapter, I talk about the things I had to do, because when I legally changed my name, what I had to go through, and even put the expenses that I had to pay, which of course may be different for people in different places. But it just at least tells you the process that you're going to have to go through. And it kind of helps you get started knowing what to do. Because somebody might say, well, if I do want to change my name, what am I supposed to do? Right. And so this kind of tells you that. So I wanted it to also be kind of a guide for those, because one of my passions is to connect us to that dark side of the moon, to illuminate that side so that we now know, hey, no, I don't have to call myself by a country. I can do like every other American and say, I am, for me, American Ghanaian Nigerian. For somebody else, it may be, American Cameroonian Gabonese, or it may be American Gambian, that they'll know exactly, because everybody else calls themselves by the country, not by the continent. And we too will be able to do it. And now the technology exists for us to be able to do it. And so my passion is to get as many as want to help as many as want to connect. And just give a holler, holler at a brother when you do it. Because I have, the social media _foundmypeople, or also foundmypeople.com contact sheet. Let me know. Let me rejoice with you. And so I'm just so excited for everyone that's going to connect to their ancestral roots.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you so much again for gracing this show and this episode. I'm so inspired. I can't wait to begin the editing process. I'm really excited about this whole episode. You know what I mean? And with that, I want to thank again the listeners for tuning in to another episode of the All Things Black Podcast. There will be information about sponsorship opportunities for those that want to sponsor the show, and any great opportunities for anybody else that might want to come on the show and tell their story or whatever it is that they want to begin to talk about. Again, this has been the All Things Black Podcast. I've been your host, Daryl Barnes, and we are out.